Allow me now to give the floor to Claudio Radelli, who is Professor of Comparative Public Policy at the School of Transnational Governance at the University Institute in Florence. Mr. Radelli, you have 10 minutes for your presentation. Thank you. You have the floor.
Merci. Good afternoon. I'm Claudio Radelli. I'm a professor of political science, comparative public policy at the School of Transnational Governance at the UI in Florence. I don't want to reiterate the thank you and by to Helen first, and then to the committee for hearing from me today. I also want to thank Senator Rampi and his team for having organized the report. The message I want to give you is that I'm here because I've been doing research over the last 10 years on a set of policy instruments that open up the policy process to a range of stakeholders and affected citizens. And my research precisely is on the conditions under which the potential of these policy instruments is fulfilled. So today, in relation to the report, I want to say a couple of things. The first and most important is that I endorse wholeheartedly the report for three reasons. First, because it provides a definition of the right to know, which is based on the work of the Global Committee on the Rule of Law. And this definition is political capital for the committee and for every organization who wants to use it in the future. So this is a moment in which a definition elaborated in the past by experts can be endorsed by an institution. The second reason why I endorse the report is, as Helen said, the range of practical recommendations. And at the moment, as Helen said, our democracies are suffering from the pandemic, but they are also suffering in terms of lack of confidence in legislation, attacks on reason, evidence, science. And at the same time, however, citizens are reclaiming science and evidence as foundations for public policy. In order for that to happen, we need to extend our knowledge and understanding of right to access and information. This, I think, was step one, characterized by the diffusion of Freedom of Information Acts over the last 25 years or so, for Sweden even earlier. To the right to know. The right to know goes beyond information and having access to information. It implies the knowledgeable part of activity. So it's active, and I want to explore this part because I think the report by Helen is a fantastic foundational report, is a very strong, compelling map, but foundations have to be used by those who want to build something, and the committee wants to build political work. And maps are useful for travelers, so we need to navigate the territory that is so well described in Helen's report. If we want to go from the notion of information and access to the more comprehensive right to know, we can simply follow the policy process from initiation to decision making, implementation, and evaluation, and see how policy instruments exist and can be used to fulfill the potential of the right to know across the different stages of the policy process. Why do I talk about policy instruments? Because I believe that rights travel much better when they are kind of incarnated, enshrined, protected in policy instruments, in instrumentations that can be then supervised by oversight bodies, but that can also be used by parliaments, parliamentary assemblies, to hold the governments to account exactly about how they use or do not use or abuse these policy instruments. I just want to mention that at the beginning of the policy process, a very important instrument is consultation, that is also the right to be notified, the right to know what is being discussed, and how to make an input to a process of public decision making. Consultation is very important at the moment because we are dealing with issues that will probably signal a paradigmatic change in public policy. And it's not just consultation on the status quo, it should be consultation on foresight on how what we're doing today is going to have a medium to long-term impact on future policies. So the agenda for parliamentary assemblies is to push the governments not to use consultation as it is often used as a symbolic tick-the-box exercise, but to push the right of citizens towards also participation and meaningful information and meaningful interaction with the proposals set up by governments. In relation to that is the right to know the reasons why governments are intervening. This is the domain of an instrument called impact assessment. But in terms of the right to know here, the key issue is about the obligation of governments to explain why they're intervening, but more importantly today, how they're making balancing acts between data protection and data for the protection of citizens, balancing acts between sustainability, gender, and immediate economic consequences. And we see now parliamentary assemblies, including the Westminster, for example, challenging the government on the presence, quality, or absence of impact assessments before these important choices in which many balancing acts are taken are formed. This right to know goes beyond the explanatory memorandum and the presence of articles and laws, and allow citizens to see what is exactly the evidence that is leading the government to take a political decision. I think parliamentary assemblies have plenty of opportunities to use this instrument to hold the government to account. There are other instruments. One is the ombudsman, obviously, which provides an alternative to a legal review because it's a review on the substance of what the public administration are doing. And finally, again, thinking especially of parliamentary assemblies, regulatory evaluation. This is a kind of retrospective evaluation in which parliaments can ask the government to account for the presence, timing, questions, and usage of the evaluations of what has been done. Up until now, some parliaments have been, like Switzerland, the UK, the European Parliament, have been active on retrospective evaluation of existing laws, but especially with the idea of looking whether they are fit for purpose. And I think now that the times are changing, the times are changing, so we're thinking about the evaluations of existing rules in terms of whether they're fit for the future, for innovation, for the kind of digital single markets that we are foreseeing in Europe, and more generally for the sustainability future that the post-pandemic recovery should deliver. All these instruments do not work simply because they are good ideas. They work when they are independent institutions. So an important corollary of what I said is that the right to know walks on special legs that are these policy instruments, but it should be kind of protected by oversight bodies. These bodies that check on the quality of consultation, impact assessment, regulatory evaluations exist, but they're often dependent from the government. And again, from the parliamentary assembly's point of view, it's important to make sure that these bodies do not just toe the political line of the day, but they're truly independent and they can challenge regulators and governments when these instruments are used symbolically. Policy instruments for the right to know exist. They should not be used in terms of shopping list, one and the other. So the more the better. We've seen colossal fiascos of adoption along these lines. We should look at their interaction. And my research is about how they work together. When some conditions are met and the instruments work together, we've seen in our research some positive effects on outcomes that go beyond the policy formulation process. So we just published, for example, an article showing how consultation may affect perceptions of corruption in Europe by contrasting a phenomenon of covert lobbying and corruption in government. Those developments, therefore, should be seen holistically as an ecology or mix of instruments. They should be supervised by regulatory institutions. They can be also supported by other important phenomena, including the general comment of the United Nations on the right of citizens to science, another theme that can be captured by this ecology of instruments. And my final word is for parliamentary assemblies to not let these instruments in the hands of governments, but actually challenge governments for about how they adopt, implement, use these instruments. Thank you very much.